How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. A lot of stuff to talk about here today on a Friday. It is Open Line Fridays. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the show here today, probably starting in the next segment. Mike Sempervivi is going to be joining us as always. And we got a lot of news to talk about, including the latest on the fallout from Seth Rollins destroying his knee on the house show tour in Europe. Sunset Flip Powerbomb on Kane. He collapsed. He fell down. His knee was blown out. He will be gone anywhere from 6 to 9 months with surgery. That means he's missing WrestleMania. That means, obviously, all plans leading to Survivor Series have to be changed. Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns not taking place at Survivor Series. Obviously, all plans involving Seth Rollins leading into Royal Rumble, the proposed match with Triple H, all of this off the table. He is gone. Last night, I received a house show report from Cardiff, Wales, and with Seth Rollins off the show, a stunning main event replacement. It was Kane versus The Big Show in late 2015 as the main event for this house show. Obviously, this was not going to fly. They have shuffled around some cards. We'll talk about that after the break. Who is facing who in the main event on the European tours? It is, suffice to say, a big upgrade. We're going to talk about that, plus more on Seth Rollins and his injury, how this affects Raw on Monday, the plan going to Survivor Series. Kurt Angle is going to be announcing tonight for Bellator. He is there. He is going to be working on a bunch of different projects. We'll talk about all this after the break. There's so much to get into today, plus your phone calls, as noted. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Oh, man. What a week it's been, Mike. What a week. What a day. We'll talk about it all later on here. Studio line 425-488-0525. Toll free 844-411-5411. And text messages to 425-780-7566. I apologize. We didn't have time to get to any text messages yesterday. I wonder why. A crazy day with Seth Rollins going down. And the changes are already in effect. As I noted in the opening segment, the main event of the Seth Rollins tour, there is a Seth Rollins and there is a Roman Reigns tour. And the Seth Rollins tour main event had been Seth Rollins versus Kane. And Seth Rollins, of course, has gone down with a massive knee injury that's going to keep him out of action through WrestleMania. So the main event last night in Cardiff, Wales was Kane versus The Big Show. 2015, Kane versus The Big Show. I remember seeing that main event and I kind of screamed, oh my God, can you imagine paying your ticket price and that's the main event of the show? Well, all has been changed, thank God. We now have two tours going on. The Roman Reigns tour is now Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt in the main event in a street fight, which, judging from Hell in a Cell, is probably a pretty good match. Also, they've got the Rybacks and the Usos. The Ryback. Not the Rybacks, despite his size. Ryback and the Usos against Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, and Luke Harper. And Alberto Del Rio versus King Barrett versus Neville in a three-way for the U.S. title. The Rollins tour, which was Rollins versus Kane, now that Rollins is down, Big Show versus Kane has been moved to the semi-main event. And the main event of the show is a Intercontinental Championship match, Kevin Owens versus Dean Ambrose. A much better main event match. And they've also got the New Day versus the Dudleys advertised. So at least everybody who's paying for that tour has got something a little bit better than The Big Show versus Kane in the main event.
Yeah, and that's what forces you to do, is to mix things up. And Alberto Del Rio, if they thought about doing anything foolish with him, may want to hold off on that. I don't care what you think about Kevin Owens or Dean Ambrose. You may want to take care of them. So I know things may be bleak right now for some, or you know, people thinking very fatalistically about what's going to happen here. But I just want to have a little hope that this is going to force them into to mixing some things up, and we'll see if that Raw rating come this Monday is as low as it's been. It's just set another 18-year low this past Monday night. So something tells me that won't be the case. They have a almost literally a blank canvas to work with outside of having some ends out there that need to be tied up. But they have a new shot going into Survivor Series, and then from there going into the Royal Rumble and our beginning of WrestleMania season, because that is literally right around the corner.
Let's go to the phones. Open lines here today. What's on everybody's mind? You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
I'd like to give my thoughts on the Hall of Fame. You think the reason why Perio got in is because of his death? It's like a sympathy vote from the voters, and also I think it was unfair that Lesnar and Nakamura got in because I regard them as more of current stars rather than Hall of Famers. But I did agree with Carlos Colon, the Assassins, and Ivan Koloff going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, Ryan, first off, everybody who wants to check it out, the new issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter is available for subscribers right now at WrestlingObserver.com. 45,000 words, also available in hard copy, etc. That's all up at WrestlingObserver.com. The deal with the Hall of Fame, Ryan, is you don't have to be retired. And it would be difficult because you can't retire in pro wrestling. Terry Funk is still wrestling. He had a match with Jerry Lawler a couple of weeks ago. That certainly shouldn't prevent Terry Funk from being in the Hall of Fame. The voters, the vast majority, 76% I believe was the number, thought that Brock Lesnar was a Hall of Famer. And so that's why he went in.
Well, I think he should have to be regarded as a legend rather than a current star like Lesnar is. That's just all I'm saying.
What makes somebody a legend?
Well, a legend would be like The Undertaker, like anyone over the age of 50 or 55.
Oh, so this is your argument that they should be older before they're eligible to go in.
Yeah, that age is way too young, in my opinion.
What do you think, Mike? 35.
Just because you can collect AARP doesn't exactly make you a legend. If it's your time to go in, it's your time to go in. But, yeah, I mean, it probably could at this point. Especially with guys getting into the business later. I mean, it's 35 years and or 15 years in the business, if I'm not mistaken. Look, if you're 20, you know, you got in the business at 20 and have been going nonstop for 15 years and you've, you know, carved enough of a niche to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, again, there is no end date. You know, there's no expiration date in wrestling. So I can understand that. With that said, pushing it to a 40 probably wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. You know, if you're going to vote for Daniel Bryan now, you should probably vote for him 5 years down the road, or anybody else who's in their late 30s. I could see that being raised up, and I don't think that would be too big of a problem at all.
The other thing, Ryan, with a 35 is, yes, if this would mean that Diamond Dallas Page would have been eligible his rookie year. So you could argue that maybe that's a little bit young. But Perro Aguayo Jr. started wrestling when he was 15. Meaning, when he turned 35, he'd been in the business for 2 decades. That's a long, long time.
But do you think Randy Orton would have gotten to the Hall of Fame if he would have died while he was wrestling, say, like Sheamus or Seth Rollins?
No.
Well, it all depends.
No.
Listen, Ryan.
It's kind of insulting to Perro Aguayo's career, too, and I can see him not understanding, you know. I think that's, yes, there is a death bump, you know.
There's always a death bump.
Or you could call it the Clemente effect, you know, if you don't want to call it the death bump. But it's not like, I mean, every situation is different and specific to that person. Perro Aguayo Jr. has been, like you said, putting in work now for well over 2 decades. He was part of, I mean, Perros del Mar shirts are one of the few wrestling t-shirts that you can wear now out in public and not feel bad about. Again, I can't argue for Aguayo because I don't follow Mexico that close, but I think that's very dismissive of his career of, well, he only got in because he died. That's really not fair.
Well, yes, as you noted, there is a bump when somebody passes away, and I'm sure that, I don't even know how to say this without it sounding callous, but him passing away, I'm sure, helped because it just happened this year.
Eddie Guerrero was another one because of the shock of it.
Sure. However, you have to realize, Ryan, that the voting is broken down into categories. And so the voters who follow Lucha Libre were largely the ones who voted on whether Perro Aguayo went in or didn't. So those that follow Lucha Libre very closely, they thought that Perro Aguayo was a Hall of Famer. He had a Hall of Fame career on top of the fact that he passed away this year. If someone, I'll just give you an example. AJ Styles is so great in New Japan, but he got so few votes in the Hall of Fame that he dropped off the ballot. He's gone off the ballot. He got less than 10% of the votes. Now, if AJ Styles would have had some sort of tragedy in Japan and passed away, do I think that that would have got him into the Hall of Fame this year? No, because his voting percentage was so low that I don't think his passing away would have got him over the hump. But Aguayo, I think, whether he passed away or not, he may very well have gone in this year. And I just don't feel that had he not passed away this year, he would have been at 9%.
Well, I didn't agree with Carlos Klingon, and he was not necessarily Lucha Libre, but he was Puerto Rican, so that would have been my international vote this year.
Well, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for the call and your Hall of Fame discussion. If you want to talk about the Hall of Fame or anything else, studio line 425-488-0525, toll free 844-411-5411, and you can text us at 425-780-7566. And I did, in fact, change the front page. We have a article that goes up every day on the front page when Observer Live is live, and some of the phone numbers and such were wrong, so I fixed them there. So if you'd like to give us a call, the numbers are up there as well. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, it's your lucky day. You get to hang on over the break, and we'll pick you up when we come back.
Okay.
Stand by. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Breaking news here, Mike. The Boogeyman has signed a developmental, I just screwed up the whole story and scared the world. A Legends contract. The Boogeyman.
Legend. Yes. Well,
I guess that means per Ryan, he's eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Probably for Ryan, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. So, that's...
We'll ask him next time.
Very exciting circumstances for the Boogeyman, who seems... I'm surprised that he has not signed one already. He always seems to be somewhere there when it comes to his character or something being out with some sort of merchandise with him on it. He seems to... It's amazing he's been able to stand the test of time for really this long.
All right, Sammy, you're on the air. What's up?
Boogeyman should get an award for most memorable character we all want to forget, I would think.
There's a lot of those, I'm afraid.
Katie Vick is bigger. I think you were talking about Raw before, and I think this Monday's Raw is going to get a natural boost in ratings because of the uncertainty of the situation. I actually am willing to say, like, probably a jump, maybe at least in the first hour, of over 200,000 viewers. They've been bottoming out a lot. At some point, they have to, there isn't going to be as much competition, and this is an intriguing time. And intriguing things in real life where it's like, what's the company going to do, I believe, boost ratings. And the future, it's a morbid example, but, the day that Vince McMahon is no longer with us, the following Raw is going to have, like, millions and millions and millions of more people watching it out of curiosity, while this is a much smaller example, but it's the same vein. They have a real life situation to deal with. How are they going to address it? And I think people are going to be at least intrigued, and hopefully they capitalize on that.
I haven't seen a SmackDown TV report yet. Is anybody aware whether that was mentioned on the show? I would presume not, but they can do additional commentary. They can do video packages, break-ins, anything like that. If anybody's aware, let me know.
A Scott Stanford Event Center.
That's right. That's right. Sammy, I want to thank you very much for the call. Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is John from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, John. What's
up? How you doing, Mike?
I'm living the dream, John.
All right, John. What's up?
Well, I want to talk about this fiasco that's going on with the WWE booking, man. I gotta say this about WWE, and I've been thinking about this. WWE has put themselves in the WWE creator has put themselves in the worst situation.
A quandary.
No, they put Roman Reigns in the worst situation. And I thought about it. And I kind of agree with you, from what you said with Vinny last night, from the great Vincent Verhey last night. And I thought about it.
Has this brought me up in the top 10 most intelligent men in the Empire rankings?
Like I was saying, you still above Brent Crennan. Be happy about that.
All right, well, listen, John, before you go any further, let me explain to the world what I said last night, and then we'll get this call going. Got it? So what I said was, this Roman Reigns fella has been popular now for 3 straight shows. Now, I know that some people say, well, Brian, SmackDown's all crowd sweetening. He could have been booed the whole time. No. I can tell the difference between crowd sweetening and adding a new soundtrack. Okay, Roman Reigns was cheered at SmackDown. Maybe not as loud as it appeared on television, but he was cheered on SmackDown. I've watched plenty of SmackDowns where Roman Reigns was booed, and they were unable to edit in cheers. Now, that's beside the point.
Correct, I remember that.
Okay, this is 3 straight shows that this guy has been cheered. And I thought, man, what happened where all of a sudden this guy is getting cheered? And I think that what happened was, they finally paired him up with somebody that the fans are sick of. I think that fans like Seth Rollins. I think they respect Seth Rollins. But Seth Rollins went 1-17. He lost on every single solitary show as champion for a full month. Every television show for a full month.
Actually, for three months.
If you take out pay-per-views, it was 3 months. But the point is, he lost and lost and lost and lost and lost. He comes out on every show and talks 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 and talks. And I think that the fans...
20-minute boring promo.
Yep. And I think the fans finally said, okay, you know what? This Roman Reigns is, in fact, the lesser of two evils at this point. I think that's why he was finally getting cheered. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure there's a lot more to it. But now that Seth Rollins has gone down with an injury, guess what? Who are they going to pair Roman Reigns with where Roman Reigns will once again be the lesser of two evils? Dean Ambrose? Nope.
No.
Bray Wyatt? Bray Wyatt's been cheered. No. Kevin Owens has been cheered. They may be right back where they were because Seth Rollins fell off the cliff. Unless they actually put the title on Sheamus. In which case, I think the fans will like Sheamus less than Roman Reigns. But that's a terrible situation for Sheamus to become the new champion.
Well, it is, and let me just jump in here before John does again, too, with, you know, you're still in that catch-22 right now of if Reigns doesn't win the belt and you don't have something where a great sleight of hand where he does not look weak, then that could be bad. If he wins the belt, where do you go from there? I mean, it is touch and go when it comes to Roman Reigns, and this really is a make or break time. And I don't think they need to be ringing John Cena or Brock Lesnar's phone off the hook yet to change anything. You got the chance here to make him dominant. I don't want to see him do any damage to anybody because they have to keep everybody, you know, relatively safe. So I don't want to see him bury Kevin Owens and say, you know, whoever on the way to winning the title coming up at Survivor Series. But he's got to be put in a situation where he is a solid winner of those belts, and now, you know, coming out of it, you have, you know, him with some momentum of him being a champion, whether he's cheered or whether he's booed with some ass behind him.
I'll bet you anything that he wins a title at Survivor Series and Sheamus cashes in.
Oh boy, and then you really are asking for it. And yes, you know, with Reigns with the chase, yeah, is he going to be more cheered in a situation with Sheamus? Yes, but it's like that. It's not the same thing, but it's like Hiroki Goto in Japan. How many New Japan IWGP title shots do you have to get and lose? You know, he's up to, I think, 4, 5, 6 of them now before you can't take him seriously anymore as a title contender. And I'm not saying, you know, everybody's going to turn their backs on Roman Reigns, every kid, every woman, all that stuff. But you really are putting himself in a damaging situation considering he always comes up short.
Go ahead, John.
But Mike, listen, guys, this is what I consider the fault of the WWE creative writing staff. For the past two to three years of the booking here, they've been doing even Steven booking. They have not created new stars. And let me phrase that, folks. I know you're saying, well, but you got Orange, you got Cesaro, you got different stars. You haven't created.
They're all mid-carders.
Everybody is a mid-carder. Let me ask you a question, man. Who is the main event? Who are the main eventers right now? Let me ask you a question.
Right now, at this exact time, it's Kane and The Big Show and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns and who else?
Stephanie and Triple H.
Stephanie and Triple H, who never work. Yep.
And think about it. Because Orton is out, Cena's out, Brock Lesnar's out, Undertaker is out. Oh, and those are part, everybody I just mentioned are. And what's his name? And Seth Rollins is hurt. So pretty much everybody, your biggest stars are hurt. Your biggest heel is hurt, and you got nobody right now. This is what WWE. I'm glad that the WWE booking this to can finally do something for a change. I don't know if you can think about this. I want your opinion. What y'all think? This could be like what it was in 1999 when they had to do the tournament, even though this was part of the storyline, and they made a bit of stars out of Mick Foley and different other superstars who went into the tournament and got screwed out of the tournament.
Yeah, but John, hold on one sec, buddy. I want to thank you very much for the call. Here's the difference between 1999 and today. Wrestling was hot in 1999. When wrestling is hot, it ain't that hard to create a new star. It's very hard to create a new star when wrestling is cold. We're at an 18-year low in terms of viewership of Raw. It's very hard to create a new star when you're that far down in the hole. They got to dig their way out of this hole to create a new star. Yeah, they're going to try. And you know what? I mentioned this Sheamus idea Survivor Series. Trust me, I wouldn't do this, but I think I know how they think most of the time. And they need a top heel star. And there are very few options right now. There's Kevin Owens and there's Sheamus. Kevin Owens is already the Intercontinental Champion. I'm not sure if their idea is, let's put both belts on him. I would bet you anything it's going to be Sheamus.
And I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't. And I just, again, it makes sense in that he's going to get the most negative reaction in comparison to Roman Reigns. He's also been, you know, knocking around in a tag team with Wade Barrett that has not suited either one of them outside an excuse to give them TV time and actually have them in the ring on a show. I've been surprised by things before. I just don't think that Sheamus is not in a position to cash this thing in and right now and have anybody believe it. And I don't think it's good for Roman Reigns. And it may be the direction they have to go. I just don't think it's necessarily a very good one. And I don't think it's going to be something where, you know, you're going to turn off the football game on Monday night to flip that on.
We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, more phone calls, text messages. I got a bunch of text messages I got to read here, some of which are very interesting, and more. So stick around, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got a lot of stuff to get into. We got callers on the line. We've got some text messages here. A couple of notes. Somebody on Twitter noted that WWE is sending out this survey, and they ask all these wacky questions normally on the survey, but this time, here's a question. I'm not making this up. If you were given $100 to create your ideal WWE superstar roster, how would you distribute your money across superstars to create your ideal superstar roster? What? So, I could say, like, all right, give Kevin Owens 50 and Dean Ambrose 50, and I'd only have two wrestlers, and the rest of them can all go.
Well, I think it's probably in the spirit of like a daily fantasy football sort of thing where you get like X amount of dollars as a budget. And obviously your Roman Reigns or your Kevin Owens, those guys would be, say if it was $100, they'd be worth, you know, $45, $50, whereas a Zack Ryder would be worth like $2 or something like that. And you try to utilize your money the wisest you can to actually have the most balanced, dangerous team that you can.
I see. Well, it also adds, if you would not keep a superstar on the roster, leave their value at zero. So it's giving you the option to fire people. Wow. It's crazy. Also to note here that on SmackDown, they did do an insert. They added a graphic in after a video package promoting the feud with Rich Brennan talking about the injury and telling you to go to the main site. So there you go. John Cena's back on Monday.
If anybody's going to get up with Stephen Quadros and Mauro Ranallo over in Italy as they tour around Europe. Maybe everybody can get together and some of the glory kickboxers can be used as filler on the WWE shows.
Everybody's screaming right now because you didn't hear what I just said.
What did I say?
John Cena's back Monday.
Wait, what?
On the Today Show. Oh, what a clickbait teaser that was.
So say this is the type of synergy I would expect from NBC Universal and the people at WWE, and I guess maybe we'll get an idea on what he has been away for.
I doubt it. Very, very unlikely.
So this is just a hanging out. You know, just I'm assuming just then to hype what Survivor Series and any of the charity work that they're doing. I guess.
I don't know. I'm sure it's just some sort of... This actually brings me to this. I wanted to read this text here. It says, Cord Bauer said on Major League Wrestling that ESPN would be breaking major WWE stories in the future, and WWE would credit ESPN for them. That is correct, and in fact, it's already been happening. When Seth Rollins went down, ESPN, quote, broke the story.
Jonathan Coachman.
That's right. And WWE credited ESPN for the news that their champion had gone down with a knee injury. So yes, they're going to be doing a lot of this. The idea is it makes us feel and look big time if ESPN is reporting on us as opposed to if we break the news ourselves. So that is the story there. Kevin Nash says he wants to come back soon. Do you think if he came back, ratings and attendance would be worse than they were when he was Diesel? They're not there yet. They're not there yet. And I don't think he's coming back to WWE. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Yes, Edward.
I want to discuss some of the rules that Dave instituted into the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, I believe, last year. If you go back several years, Dave would always talk about he was worried that there weren't many people going to be put into the Hall of Fame. And when he changed the rules about eliminating people if you haven't gone in for so many years, it opened the door for seven people to get voted in this year. And I think this is going to happen every year. You're going to get six or seven people in the Hall of Fame. And I think it's just too many people and that it's going to kind of bastardize the Hall of Fame a little bit. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that matter.
All right. Of the people who went in this year, Ed, who should not have gone in your opinion?
Carlos Colon.
A lot of people are not happy with this Carlos Colon thing. That's the only one you've got?
He's the main one, but I just feel that, you know, when they eliminated like Dick Murdoch and a lot of other people, that just has taken votes away and adding to other people. And when more people get entered into the Hall of Fame, more people are going to be, you know, getting the votes the next year. And it's just going to lead to more and more people getting in. And I think slowly but slowly it's going to get the people who don't really deserve to be in.
Well, let's look at it this way, Ed. Do you believe that Ivan Koloff should have gone in?
Yes, I do believe Ivan Koloff should have gotten.
All right, what about the Assassins?
The Assassins, I'm kind of borderline. I don't really know a lot about their early history, but I wouldn't have voted for them.
Okay, but a lot of people obviously think the Assassins should have gotten in. Mike, do you think the Assassins should have gotten in?
Sure do.
Okay, so those two, both last year, were at 48% of the vote, and they leaped all the way up to 61 and 65% to go in this year, Ed.
Yeah, because people like Dick Murdoch were eliminated.
Exactly.
That's where they got that.
Exactly.
Now, those 50%. Those
hold on, 50% hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, youngster. Hold on, hold on, hold on. So, those guys had a humongous jump because, as you noted, other people dropped off the ballot. Now, as you and Mike both agree, they are Hall of Famers, which means this Hall of Fame is not being bastardized. Now, in the case of Carlos Colon, who you think does bastardize the Hall of Fame, Carlos Colon was at 56% last year. He almost went in last year. It's not like he was at 30%, and because people dropped off the ballot, all of a sudden he rocketed his way up to 60% of the vote. No, no. He only went up 4%, which means that apparently a lot of people thought that Carlos Colon was a Hall of Famer before people ended up dropping off the ballot.
And let's be real here. The reason that people are so anti-Carlos Colon, and I'm not going to blame them. I mean, I didn't vote for him. One of the reasons is, in fact, the biggest reason is, if you look at what he did in Puerto Rico, the same way you would put those same guidelines on a Jerry Lawler in Memphis or anybody in their territory, Carlos Colon is a no-brainer. The reason that people have an issue with it, and I'm not going to say that they shouldn't, is because of any thoughts of if he had anything to do with the murder and or cover-up of Bruiser Brody, and that is, I believe, 100% of the reason that people have the issue.
Can I add something to that? Because I agree with what you just said, or that's how I personally feel. But there are some people who are bringing up that the argument that, well, it's fine for Carlos to go in because Benoit is in, because Benoit did something else that was horrible. But to me, the difference being is Carlos Colon did his while he was wrestling, where Chris Benoit did that when he was already in the Hall of Fame.
But Ed, I think the problem is, I mean, if there's a Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Hall of Fame...
Well, actually, one thing real quick. There was the opportunity to vote Benoit out after he did what he did. And they didn't...
And one of the reasons that I was against that, and I didn't have a vote at that time, either way, either for Benoit to go in or not, was he flipped out. And like, if you're to believe everyone that ever had any contact with Chris Benoit, something happened. He flipped out. He lost his mind at the very end of his life. This is not giving him a pass for what he did. But when you have guys like Johnny Weaver is a legend in Mid-Atlantic, you cannot tell the story of Mid-Atlantic wrestling without Johnny Weaver. He was that smiling face you saw in the 80s along with Bob Cottle on NWA Pro and on Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. You know, by all accounts, he beat the dog crap out of his wife on a regular basis, Penny Banner, the female wrestler. And he's not the only one that would be in a Hall of Fame. He's not the only one in the Hall of Fame who has been a horrible family person. Horrible things have happened. That's unfortunate, and I'm not giving anybody a pass for any of that stuff. But when you start pulling back the layers of the onion, don't be surprised if you're in tears at the end of it, because there are a lot of bad people in a lot of Hall of Fames who have done things that are very terrible. And Chris Benoit flipped out and lost his mind in the end days of his life. He did a horrible thing. Does that have anything to do with his wrestling career? No. Are you hurt because he put a black eye on the business that you like? Yeah, and I could see people being upset about that. But to me, it's like we had this argument when it came to him being featured on the WWE Network or him being on there. You cannot erase history to that point and just make, poof, it all goes away. NFL films, you know, they don't focus on a Ray Caruth or an O.J. Simpson, but they also, when they show highlights of old Panthers or old Bills games, they don't erase them from the history either. It's just, it's one of those things you have to accept.
I want to thank you very much for the call, Ed. The Wrestling Observer newsletter is up on the website for subscribers right now. As we always plug the audio here, if you sign up, you not only get all of the audio, you also get the Observers and all of the back issues that we have available. There's hundreds of back issues up there. And the new Observer is there if you want to go read all about the Hall of Fame, all of the Hall of Fame bios, figure out what the heck we're talking about here on the show every day. That's up at WrestlingObserver.com. And trust me, you will love it. Got all these text messages asking about these crowd surveys. This person says they started out asking about viewing habits, but the one yesterday asked fans to recommend cuts to the roster and rank specific attributes of wrestlers. Do you know how they're using these? No, I have no idea. No idea. Any chance WWE might go outside the box, try to create a new star, such as Joe or Balor? Or will the new champ be Reigns, Del Rio, or Lesnar? Might this enhance Bryan's chances of being okayed to come back? This has no bearing on Daniel Bryan. This has no bearing on Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is all about what the doctor says. It has nothing to do with who they have as stars on the main roster. Now, if Daniel Bryan went to a second doctor, and he now has two of his own doctors saying you're okay to return, and they have one WWE doctor saying you're not okay to return, yeah, maybe WWE will say, all right, fine, 2-1. Let's bring this guy back. Maybe. But if it's still 50-50 and their doctor is saying no, he is not coming back. Now, I don't think Lesnar is coming back, so I do think that the champion, I think when all is said and done, the champion is going to be either Roman Reigns, Sheamus, or Alberto Del Rio. One of those three. And we're all going to find out very soon. This person says, hoping they call up guys like Joe and Balor for the tournament. I suppose they could.
I don't. Unless they have a real plan for him, why bother? Don't bring him up there just to have him get donked off and lose and go back down. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Can we induct someone. Can we induct that? Oh, I see. All right, never mind. Still talking about Benoit here. Do we need to petition the President of the United States to get Ryan banned from the show? If you can get 100,000 signatures, I will ban Ryan from the show for a while. But
what
I don't
if
think
he gets 101,000 signatures to remain on the show.
I don't think he's getting 100,000. And really, Ryan's call was not a bad call today. Ryan actually had a good call today, so let's give him that. And usually when it's a bad show, I cut him off very, very quickly. One of the best ever of Observer Live this week says, thank you. With Kurt Angle announcing on Bellator tonight, what are the chances they shoot an angle for a future fight with him? Listen, right now Kurt Angle is signed to a non-fighting contract. However, Kurt Angle has teased, that he may be interested in fighting. So I do not rule out the idea that tonight on Bellator, Kurt Angle may shoot an angle to set up a fight with Ken Shamrock or whoever it might be. My gut tells me it's not going to happen because I think he knows better, and I don't even think he'd be... how do you do this without being cleared by a doctor first, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just shoot an angle and then try and get cleared, can you? I mean, you can, but it would be dumb.
I'm sure it's probably happened. I think fights have been announced with things like that, yeah.
I just feel that maybe it'll happen. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility, but my gut tells me it's probably not going to happen tonight. But I guess we'll see. He's there as a member of the announce team.
He can say whatever he wants until he actually gets cleared by doctors to the point of like an athletic commission sort of thing. Just come on. You know, although one thing about tonight will be very, very interesting. Bobby Lashley and James Thompson, right?
That's right. We'll talk about that after the break in a weekend preview. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Big weekend coming up besides the WWE tour that is coming up and actually ongoing right now. We have got a New Japan show tonight, if I recall correctly. We've got a Bellator show tonight with the James Thompson-Bobby Lashley Battle of the Bohemoths. Or actually, it's Behemoths. But in this case, Bohemoth sounds more intimidating. And of course, Saturday is UFC. What's coming up with New Japan tonight?
Is the finals of the junior heavyweight tournament that they've had are going to be taking place, as well as the Intercontinental title match that has been built up over the last few weeks between Carl Anderson and Shinsuke Nakamura. So the possible mystery opponent, I guess, could make an appearance tonight for who will be facing Nakamura at their New Japan's WrestleMania show on January 4th.
So, of course, UFC, Belfort and Henderson is tomorrow night, and Josh Thompson and Bobby Lashley on Bellator tonight. We, of course, will be back on Sunday with a brand new show, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 Eastern. We are on Sports Byline USA every single day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. A replay every single day at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturdays, we do replays at 10 a.m. Pacific, as well as 5 p.m. Pacific. And as noted, we'll be back Sunday with a brand new show. There is so much great stuff up for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com right now. The brand new Hall of Fame issue of The Observer is up. We got so many great radio shows. 7,000 shows in the archives for subscribers. Hundreds of back issues of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, and so much more. Sign up today, everybody. You won't regret it. It's a great value, and you will never run out of things to listen to and read about pro wrestling. We'll be back Sunday with more. Thanks, Mike. Everybody at Byline, all of you, the listeners, we'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.